Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Best day of the week.
There you go.
Still waiting for my coffee mug, Will.
Okay, we'll get it. We'll get it. I wish that, speaking of coffee mugs. Oh, there you go. The old ones, the old brands. I got the Ember mug, so shout out to them. We should get them to sponsor one of these days and give us custom GMH ones. Just got it. Love it. I've had this coffee sitting and brewing. Still hot.
Sounds like they just sponsored us.
Hey. Once they're ready to send that fat check, I'll accept it. How's your guys' week? I missed you guys, of course, while at STR Wealth. And who also saw the Usher concert last night? Pretty cool, huh?
I was so thrilled with all of it. There was a woman at the bar, everybody's sitting, dancing a little bit, but this woman stood up and really got into it.
You gotta love those
DJ, those super DJ fans, Brandy. having some mic issues this morning, so we'll loop back to you, no pun intended, Brandy. I went up to Birmingham to the Jurassic World, took my family, but mostly obviously for my four-year-old. He had so much fun seeing all the dinosaurs and hearing his recounts of everything that happened. Like, he was definitely taking it all in. So had a good weekend with the fam.
That's awesome.
Good. And last couple of days been fun. I've been sick, but feeling better enough to get back on the pod with you guys, obviously. So
what were some of your takeaways from STR Wealth? It looked like a lot of fun.
It was a good conference. I give Mike and Bill huge, credit for doing something different than most conferences like VRMA and other ones, where the stage, the visual, the audio, the education was really well done. It's really long days. Like, you're, as an attendee, you're there from 7 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. It was kind of like a Tony Robbins type style, where it's just go, 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 high energy. Tons of networking, tons of stuff. But from behind the stage, me and Julie George were it's hard to have takeaways because we yes, we're paying attention to the speakers, but we're also trying to keep everyone on track for the fun schedule that they had. And that was, not as easy as maybe as expected compared to last year with a smaller venue. But overall, really good conference. And it was cool to see some of the traditional VRM operators and vendors at the conference, like Dennis from Castiola, and then, getting to see these Airbnb hosts and the bigger operators play together and kind of be at the same conference was pretty cool. So overall, really great show, and hats off to Bill and Mike pulling it off another year.
Nice. Well, assuming we all watched the Super Bowl yesterday, you guys see any Expedia commercials?
Well, lots. Before the game started, there was a really good Vrbo one. They're definitely poking at the you could find anything potentially at an Airbnb. So that's I thought that was fun. But the OTAs were out in force yesterday. That is for sure. That was some serious
Expedia, Booking, homes.com. I think there was like quite a few that were popping up all over the place, which was, yeah, very interesting out of all the other ads that we saw.
And we've read a lot lately that Expedia is willing to and going to be investing a ton in ads. They just think to deal with Netflix. Obviously, they're promoting Vrbo as a lone standing, but they're also promoting Expedia. They rolled out One Key last year. Booking kind of has a loyalty program, but this one seems to be maybe a step above Booking's loyalty program. Mm-hmm. So they're leaning in hard. They had a lot of tech debt to clear out from all their acquisitions over the past decade, but seems to be they're hopefully that's behind them. And now they're really investing in the growth aspect because, you know, the Airbnbs of the world have done quite a good job growing listings, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's quite the PR machine to chase. Airbnb does a really good job of that. But I did notice, and this was just like a little thing that popped up when I logged into our Guesty account, that there's like new, I guess, like upgrades coming to their Vrbo connection. So I think regardless of what PMS you're on or channel manager or whatever, I think that will probably start happening more. They're definitely updating some of that legacy software.
Finally, let's go. I'm curious, though, out of all the ads that we saw with Booking, Expedia, Homes.com, Vrbo, did you guys see an Airbnb ad at all? I didn't see one. I was trying to pay attention throughout the whole thing, but I didn't. I was surprised. Like, out of all the OTAs, I was expecting Airbnb, the PR machine that they are, to have something, you know.
Because they've had some really, really well done commercials recently, like graphically very beautiful. I think very like clean and just like visually. And so, yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do it. But also they, you know, their PR machine is working 365. Maybe they took the most expensive day off because they're working hard the rest of the year.
And they're not big fans of they definitely do TV ads and stuff, but traditionally they're not doing a whole lot of PPC type of online digital marketing. So maybe their strategy is to avoid the expensive days and just get, I don't know if it's more bang for your buck, but more distance with the spend than a singular day.
Yeah. $100 million on a Super Bowl ad or $100 million on 364 days of advertising and PR.
Yeah.
Is the budget's a little bigger than that. But
well, I'm just going with the average spend for a Super Bowl commercial, which is about $100 million. So, that's what I read at least a couple years ago. Could be different now, but But hey, quick before we go into the main topic today, speaking of good products and well designed products, got to give a shout out to our sponsors and partners at Sojo. For all the listeners, I did hear a lot of this come up at STR Wealth last week, where people were just super tired and annoyed with having to always update and buy their own amenities for their guests. And they would buy products that maybe looked good, but actually weren't good, and maybe didn't look good, but weren't like, okay. And with Sojo, you get all the above. You get good looking products that are actually good. And if you use the link in our show notes, you get 30 day free samples. And they're amazing. They're well designed and they're easy for your housekeepers to find and label. So shout out to Sojo for doing all the above, going well designed product with a good quality amenity for your guests. So shout out to you guys. And now back to the conversation. Very, very interesting to see how the ad spend kind of went out this year. But Michael, you had the idea of discussing our perfect OTA. So maybe we segue right into that.
Yeah, we've already touched on a couple of interesting things, and the idea was brought on by an article that I read over the weekend about TripAdvisor and how they're not only still alive, but seemingly making a bit of a comeback. And I personally am more of the book direct type of person. I do use OTAs from time to time, but TripAdvisor is one, particularly just to see, like, as of late, how's the property performing. So I do use the TripAdvisor reviews when booking things, probably more specifically with my family than just myself. But when I started thinking about that, and then we'd already touched on Vrbo's loyalty and Airbnb's PR machine, it's like, wow, how do you build the perfect OTA? And now nobody's going to be great at everything. Everyone's going to have the things that they're best at. But let's live in La La Land here and dream a little on the perfect platform. Brandy, what is the key components of your perfect platform besides free and sending loads of business?
Yeah, no commissions. And you give me all of the guest information so that I can take them off your site once they book. No. What? No one would ever do that. So I, as like a larger, obviously there's the design, which we talk about quite kind of frequently. And I think it's a given that Airbnb like wins that. It's just beautiful design for the host side. Like it could use a cleanup in terms of if you have more accounts, like managing all of that, but just aesthetically, it's a great, great site. But I think actually customer service is probably one of the bigger components for me, like as we're a bigger operator, you just want to have a person that you can talk to that can actually help you either get information or fix a problem. When you're smaller, that might not be as important, but certainly once you reach, I even think maybe like 20, 50 listings, like I think that you want to have someone that you can build some sort of rapport with that it can help. Obviously, most accounts only get that when they have hundreds of listings. But customer service, I think having some sort of badge for good hosts is good, but then I don't like any of the metrics or the way that any OTA is doing it, because ones like Airbnb Superhost really favor people who have very few listings. And then Premier Partner for Vrbo is fine. I do like that they do it by like a listing basis, but you don't necessarily see the kind of uptick in revenue that you might from getting Superhost and Airbnb. So I don't think Vrbo customers are like paying attention as much to that, at least not yet. So yeah, I will have to say Airbnb's customer service, once you like really lock into getting an account executive, like ours, Leah, she's lovely. She puts up with a lot of our agitation. So I will say that.
How many Brandy rants is she here a week? That's what I want to
know. No, you know, first our head of commercial, Doug, is he maintains that. But it's kind of like she knows that if I'm get on a call, it's probably like when all of our New Orleans listings were down for like a very long time, those were not like great conversations to have. But yeah, I don't know if any of the OTAs have done the loyalty one, but you know, Michael, you've talked about the One Key kind of being currently the best option. So I guess what would you add to my list?
Well, we touched on TripAdvisor's reviews. I think we live in a world where you're expected to tip on everything and give 5-star reviews on everything. But I think on TripAdvisor, people are a little more honest. It seems like it's a bit more authentic than you might get on an Airbnb's review system. There's no backlash, you know, or disincentive to not be honest and truthful there. I would say, traditionally speaking, Vrbo's customer service is really good for professionals. I'd take Airbnb's PR team. They pump everything everywhere all the time. That said, Vrbo's PR team has more of a pinpoint strategy, which is a good, it serves them well. I love how they're each taking their own lane, and Airbnb is everything to everybody, and Vrbo is, we are whole house, family oriented, really leaning into it. And I think walking out of COVID, we learned, they learned where each of their strengths are, and they've been playing on it for a while. Now, with the new CEO that was announced at Expedia this past week, I'd expect some things shift. I don't know her personally. I don't know where her area of focus is, but hopefully it's on growing Vrbo more and investing more in Vrbo. And if that's the case, then the industry is going to get better as a whole. So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm with you on Airbnb's design as well. So,
yeah, I think with the new CEO coming into Expedia, I would love to see more, like, less friction between Vrbo and Expedia. I think, you know, there's a lot of that right now. We should, especially on like the back end, and, you know, we've been talking about how they had this technical debt that they've been working on, but Expedia still doesn't really know how to, like, digest short-term rentals, and it causes a lot of problems sometimes. Like, your listing doesn't have the right licensing, but you don't need that licensing, or the guests don't realize what type of property they're booking or whatever. And so I would just like, or it should be easy to switch between the platforms or something like that. I hope that she realizes that that's a great opportunity to kind of remove some of those friction points and leverage Expedia to boost the Vrbo business.
Well said. Well said. I'm with you guys on everything above. Plus, I think the Airbnb portion wins on mobile compared to all the other ones. I think mobile is super important, especially with like the shift in generations. I think the more, you know, the younger millennials and whatever categories we want to call everybody, but get older, they're all going to be used to mobile, and Airbnb definitely wins on the experience side. So, definitely a big win there. And then Michael put up the comment from Kat, but I also love this this comment. The perfect OTA finds me a guest that I would not otherwise be able to find. So I think that is a big differentiator. A lot of the guests I think book with us probably would find us organically, I would say, like whether they Google or whether their channel. But if you can find that one person that's not normally searching or maybe used to the type of experience or stay that you were providing, that's a big win from the OTA to bring that customer to you. So I think there's, of course, give and takes, but yeah,
that's my thought. I think one of the components we like briefly touched on that TripAdvisor is like the master of is reviews. And it's interesting because for restaurants, I don't trust TripAdvisor at all. I do not trust that people are giving these restaurants in like Times Square 5 stars. Like, that's not good food. But for experiences, I think where TripAdvisor like really has a monopoly on this is that TripAdvisor is a globally recognized brand. So if you're going to somewhere in Vietnam and you've never been there, you don't know anyone there, a lot of places there will have like, oh, TripAdvisor top 10 in 2020 that's a bad year, 2018. that's something that everybody's like, okay, baseline, I know that this like has gotten enough attention that it ranked or that enough people went there. So I think that's really, I think TripAdvisor is used for research. And, you know, if you go and maybe you see all your hotels on whatever OTA you're looking at, but then you might go to the TripAdvisor to find like the real reviews, and you can scroll through and that's what I've done, especially if there's places when we planned our company meetup in the Philippines. Like, I've never been there. So when I was trying to pick places, I was like really relying on TripAdvisor to kind of help build it out. But they really lose on the booking aspect. That really didn't pan out. And I think that they might have just realized that that's a big can of worms. That's like Pandora's box when you start getting into distribution. So I think that their monopoly continues to be reviews, but if that will last, that remains to be seen.
Well, it's interesting because in the article that Michael also sent, which I can link in the show notes for everybody who's wanting to reference everything we're reading, but TripAdvisor, 46% of the revenue in Q3 was from Viator, which was an acquisition they did in 2014. And so to me, it's like, okay, That's a huge chunk of revenue. A Viator seems to be Airbnb experiences of what Brian Chesky maybe dreamt of it. And so my question for you two, kind of mentioning that statement, that's a huge chunk of revenue coming from quote unquote an OTA. I have seen it as an OTA. I know it's not technically, but that's just the way I've seen TripAdvisor. For you guys, Michael specifically, you, Ben Wolf, Zach Boozy Cruz, a lot of other people in the industry are predicting or putting out that basically social media, Instagram, TikTok, all these other platforms are going to be the next OTA. Do you guys see this taking place anytime soon? And what do you think it's going to take to get these social media platforms to become the next OTA for, to put these other OTAs pretty much behind the pass and pretty much out of sight, out of mind?
So maybe to caveat that, I think the OTAs will be, the platforms will be where the distribution comes. The micro OTAs are individual influencers. So I think there's a slight difference there, but it is where the distribution comes from. And what needs to happen is incentives align, right? There's no influencer that's going to have any mass audience sending people to a singular hotel or doing a singular event. It might help. There might be a little blip in bookings and whatnot. And if you do that over and over again enough times with enough influencers, if you have a singular hotel, then it could be worthwhile. But for the influencer, for it to make sense, they need access to lots of different inventory. And they can't go out and do that themselves. So there needs to be some alliance between a meaningful one between one of the major OTAs and an influencer program for it to make sense. And if that can happen, then I'm quite interested to see where that goes, because it's all about inspiration. I mean, you look at how Airbnb shows their trip planning. There's categories, it's not just a simple search bar anymore. They're trying to inspire you or give you ideas where certain types of properties are the destination, not everyone's going to Panama City Beach, right? So I think the inspiration piece is an interesting one to look at. I would not be a big fan if Airbnb or Vrbo or Booking or any of those people tried to get and compete with Viator on their own existing platform, maybe a third-party platform, sure. And I think Booking's already bought a company, Fair Harbor, that does something similar many years ago. But I am definitely bullish that people are going to get, just like they get their news today from social media and influencers that they follow, they're going to get their inspiration and trip planning as well.
You mean just like all the Good Morning Hospitality listeners that get their news from us every Monday and Wednesday? I'm just kidding. Exactly. No, the one comment I have to that is that I think the inspiration piece is true. And a while ago, I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, where Brian Chesky was basically talking about like the future of search isn't just by categories, it's by actually being able to power the matchmaking side, basically. So saying, Michael, we know that you love castles and you love history and you love the experience of this. Here's 10 different places and 10 different locations that you should check out. And by the way, if you do, it's blah, 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 blah. It's basically more of a matchmaking type of search. I would be interested in that in the sense of, to go back into your comment of the influencer piece, I think the influencer piece will only really work if it's a big brand that, like you said, has a ton of options, like Marriott. It's not going to work for the individual host who has one property in Ohio. Like, I just don't think that is going to be a smart investment if you're giving away free stays or paying an influencer to come stay with you for one home versus maybe, okay, bring up your comment. Let's go debate.
I don't think a singular brand can identify well enough with an influencer. Like, I'm not admittedly the biggest consumer of social media, and I don't know the influencer world, but I don't know any influencers that would be really excited to say, I only stay in Marriott's. I love Marriott's. They're the best thing ever. It's just Marriott's great and there's no knock on it. I
know a ton of influencers that do that, but it's all right.
I enjoy staying in Marriott's, but it's not inspirational. It's usually not Instagram worthy. Like, it's just, it misses what a lot of boutique hotels have to offer. It's great for business travel. It's good consistency, not knocking Marriott. It just doesn't really hit the mark with tying it with influencers, if that makes sense.
Well, the right influencer just doesn't just capture the property, though. They capture the destination around the property. So that's also kind of what you got to keep in mind.
Right.
Of. This might, this way. Hey, just sorry, Brandy, all you. Stage is yours.
Air rebuttal.
Well, just getting back, like, bring it back to your original thing of when, like, do you think that social media is going to be the new, like, replace OTAs? And I don't think so at all, because of just the scale of distribution and the technical lift that is necessary to reach that size and support vast networks. Like, there's, you can have a brand that does a lot of its business through Instagram. Again, Ben Wolf at Onera, great example, doing 70%+, but that isn't directly tied into a booking engine. So you can't go to their Instagram, and on Instagram, you're picking your dates and you're finishing that process on Instagram or through Instagram. It's connecting you directly to the operator, but that's still a huge lift. And that's where you run into issues at scale. Otherwise, you have to have like a pretty robust team that's going to be handling all of that. And so I think you'll definitely see more and more people getting, you know, inspiration and getting ideas and maybe going to the direct site through Instagram and all of that. But that, I think if we had Jamie Lane, you know, here we are screaming for data, like the volume that the OTAs have, I would say even like a small OTA, whatever that might be, probably like dwarfs what people do through Instagram, just because you're not like of the ease of distribution and the power, like the technical power that all of those OTAs have. I think it would take something like truly catastrophic. Like the OTAs would have to go out of business, I think, in order for like the own social media to be the OTA of choice. Rebuttal.
So yeah, I will rebut that rebuke, whatever that word is. I'm not saying the OTAs die. They will be what powers these bookings. But there is no ease for the influencer to link to Expedia. I mean, they have white label programs, booking as white label programs. But, you know, if the company that builds this leverages bookings platform and they split the commission, so now you're down to 7%, and now you want to split the commission with the influencer, so now you're down to 3.5%. There's just not a whole lot of meat on the bones anymore. So yeah, one of the OTAs has to figure out how to capture that, because that is top of funnel. And if that influencer drives people who travel with dogs, or people that travel with families, or people that travel with elderly, you know, whatever these niches might be, I don't think the answer is necessarily loads of micro websites. It's loads of micro influencers that then can combine specific units or inventory that makes sense for the traveler that's following that person.
I agree to that. And that's something, like, I had a lot of conversations at STR Wealth around like Hospitality FM. Everyone's like, well, what's so different about all these shows? And to me, not only the shows, but they have different audience types. Like Good Morning Hospitality listeners are not the same listeners as like STR Secrets or as blah, blah, blah. Like, yes, there's crossover, but these different micro, like, I guess not micro, but like you just said, Michael, the audience and niche categories is actually the most important thing. I think that's really what makes, you know, influencer marketing and other things move the needle, because they are targeting such a specific type of traveler, or in our case, listener. So yeah, great. That's all I have to say. Great comment. Great point. Love that. Big fan.
So we'll add that to the list of the perfect OTA has a quality influencer strategy that future proofs them for disruption down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if anyone wants to bring me on to help build that out, then
the guy who just says he doesn't have
contact my agent.
Yeah, the guy. Yeah, the guy.
What's a TikTok?
Yeah. Wait, bring you on? Don't you mean bring on Good Morning Startups as a group?
Come on. Oh, yeah. We can advise. Yeah. Because Will is a power user for social media. So, every now and then. Yeah. Anyway, I think the long and short of it, there is no perfect OTA. We have to use them all. Some have pros and cons. Some have great customer service. Some have terrible customer service. Some have, I'd say most have great PR teams, although Booking, we don't hear a whole lot about them.
No, but they do have a good ad agency. Whoever has been getting them all these really big celebrities and this whole new like ad push, they've done a good job.
Yep. Yeah. I would say government relations, Vrbo, Expedia take the cake.
I mean, Airbnb, I have to say, they have done, like, they've paid for a lot of like of the fights that have been happening, like especially in South Florida, like in
cities.
What?
In cities, the cities.
Yeah, in the cities for sure, because that's where they might get the most bang for their buck, I think, rather than, you know, going for
Airbnb Airbnb and Vrbo both stepped up for the Colorado bill, which sounds like we had a really good turnout on February 6th here at the Capitol in Denver. So I'll get more updates on that for all of our listeners that are curious. But yeah, there was it was good to see both OTAs representing in there. Cool.
Well, good stuff. If you have any thoughts on any listeners have any thoughts on the perfect platform, we'd love to hear them and we can bring them up next week.
Exactly. We want to hear your perfect OTA, and it can't include no commission and
it has direct to be realistic. Email.
Realistic. Yeah, really realistic. Super good. Well, super good to see you guys again. Glad I was able to hop on today and not be sick and managing things behind the scenes. It's always great to hear your voices and see your faces. So for all of our listeners, check out links in the show notes to our sponsors at Sojo. They're amazing. We love working with them. Great product, great design. And of course, if you're a startup and you're hungry and you want to, you know, accelerate your growth, join Good Morning Startups by applying at goodmorningstartups.com. And like always, we'll see you guys again next week. Make sure you like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform, and we'll see you all soon.